We thank the God that our heart can see. Isn't that beautiful? Dr. Bob and I have started with a process of converting our Invictus song. And the original song begins with a vague thanks to the gods. And we didn't like that. So she came up, she said, let's thank the God that our hearts can see. Thank you, Dr. Bobby. She deserves some applause for that. And then we had a little argument with this business of I'm the captain of my soul and I'm the master of my fate. So we converted that as well. I'm the captain of my soul and I can give it to Jesus. I'm the master of my fate. So I'm following my God. Do you understand what I mean with the process that's started? And I invite all our lovely musicians and poets and people, let's work together and make our Invictus song the song of our church. And now before our scripture reading, I need to tell you how much effort and how many hours so many of our church folks unselfishly gave to prepare for this great weekend of festivities. Endless planning, composing, printing, rehearsals, because everything has to be 100% and perfect to celebrate this historic moment in the life of our church. And that reminded me of a concert that was held in Philadelphia. Now, one of the movements featured a flute solo that was to be played as if coming from a distance. And the conductor had instructed the flutist to stand off stage where he was to count the measures precisely in order to come in at the exact time, since there could be no visual contact between the conductor and the soloist. So on the performance night, when the time came for the flute solo, the flutist began exactly at the right moment. The fine, lilting notes floated out beautifully. And then suddenly there was a pinching, sour note, and the soloist was silent for the rest of the piece. Now you can imagine, the conductor was outraged, and at the end of the piece, he rushed off stage to find the poor flutist. But the flutist player was prepared. Maestro, maestro, he said, before you say anything, let me tell you what happened. But really, maestro, you're not going to believe it. You know, I came in accurately, and everything was going beautifully, when suddenly this enormous stage hand ran up, grabbed away my flute, and pushed me back, saying, quiet, you idiot, don't you know there's a concert going on out there? Well, nothing went so terribly wrong with us, but surely we came very close at times. Let us read from the Hebrew Testament, from Psalm 127. If God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. It's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? Don't you see that children are God's best gift? The fruit of the womb, his generous legacy? Like a warrior's fistful of arrows are the children of a vigorous youth. Oh, how blessed are you, parents, with your quivers full of children. Your enemies don't stand a chance against you. You'll sweep them right off your doorstep. And here ends our reading of Psalm 127. Friends, when planning this busy weekend a definite historical moment in the life of our church, we understood that all the hopes, all the dreams, all the planning and action that we invested in this beautiful church complex would be completely in vain if we only celebrate our own achievements, while forgetting the reminder of the psalmist that it's not about us. It's not about me and what I did. It's not about you and what you did. Psalmist cuts straight through. If God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. And in order to succeed, Jesus taught that the only true foundation upon which we can possibly build is on the rock of ages. And in the very words of Jesus, he said that everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And then Jesus said, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So if we come before God this evening and we dare to use the phrase unconquerable, we better not build on ourselves, on our talents, of what we can do, what we can contribute. The stability of life, the stability of a church like ours, is always contingent upon its foundation. Yeah, all the materials one uses in building are important, the brick, the cinder, the block, the wood, the nails, but the material is not as important as the foundation. And that is comforting to me personally, because it tells me that the stability of my life does not rest on my weak physical frame, but the stability of my life rests on the rock itself. The wise builder does not get the credit for his durable construction. The credit goes to the rock. The teachings of Christ, the truth of Christ, Christ himself is the rock. It's an awful moment when a seeking person begins to find that the props, the foundation on which it has blindly rested so long, are rotten. When it begins to feel the nothingness of tradition, and in that horrible insecurity begins also to doubt where there is anything to believe in at all. The rock, unconquerable. The rock is one of the biblical terms for Christ. And the implication is very obvious. His truth is the one foundation upon which we can build our lives, on which we should build our church. It is the one thing in existence that is absolutely true, never varies, never shifting like the desert sands, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And resting on this foundation, we shall stand secure when the winds and the rains and floods of error, of fear and doubt and self-reproach beat upon us. beat they ever so hard, we are founded on the rock. The term Invictus simply means unconquerable. How then will you and I move and build from this moment onward? The rock on which Jesus Christ builds his church is the same rock on which you and I may build our lives. Even this evening, in the quiet of this day, the invitation comes to us. You can build on the rock of ages. Let it then go forth from this pulpit on this very special evening, on Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.